This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Experience the difference at Woodhouse Buick GMC. From the GMC Acadia to the Buick Encore, we're sure to have a vehicle that fits your lifestyle. Our climate-controlled showroom guarantees a comfortable shopping experience every time you visit. Plus, our commitment to our customers continues well beyond the date of purchase. You will leave our lot feeling comfortable and confident in your new vehicle. Start your car buying journey today, in-store or online at WoodhouseBuickGMC.com. We are professional grade.
Welcome to Double Love, the podcast that explores the strange and terrifying world of Sweet Valley High, book by book. I'm Anna Carey.
I'm Karen Moynihan.
And we are back!
We're back!
After a giant Christmas break!
Yay!
It's
a
month after Christmas
it
now.
Was, it was a good while, actually. Wasn't
really
it?
We've been away for a whole month.
Yeah.
It seems like a long time to us. And,
yeah.
I don't know whether now we're invigorated. We're ready to tackle more Sweet Valley Madness.
Raring to go.
No, we certainly are. Because this week, we have got something good.
Oh, it's a good one.
It's book number 11, so we're episode number 12 now, so everything's going to get so confusing.
Yeah, our numbering is all over the place after our Christmas episode.
Yes, but we have reached book 11.
We have.
And it's called Too Good To be true. Should have a question mark there, really.
Shouldn't
you know, in the typical
Sweet
Valley
style,
like, you know, it's... Well, sometimes they do like to lay it all out at the beginning. now, I can't remember who read the blurb the last time.
Oh,
I think it was me.
Okay.
So that means it's your turn to read the cover tagline.
Okay. It's like, we have a system, believe it or
we
not.
We really do. I know this is confusing. Possibly we should have discussed this before we went on air.
We've just forgotten how to do everything.
Yeah. Oh, God. This is going to be beginning, starting from scratch.
Bear with us.
Okay. Ready. The tagline for Too Good To Be True is
Suzanne as perfect as she seems?
Well, yet again, it's a rhetorical question to which the answer is no. She isn't. I'm sorry if that's a spoiler.
She sucks.
Yes. And the back tagline is amazing. It's a devil in disguise.
Ooh.
Very dramatic.
It is. It's very dramatic.
Okay, so please share the actual blurb with us.
All right, let's do this thing. The Wakefield twins are wild with excitement. Glamorous, sophisticated Suzanne Devlin is coming to Sweet Valley from New York City.
Ooh la la.
For 2 weeks, Elizabeth will show her around the town while Jessica has the time of her life in New York. At first, Suzanne seems to be the most perfect girl in the world. Ooh. She's beautiful and friendly and not the least bit stuck up. All the boys of Sweet Valley are absolutely crazy about her. But when Suzanne accuses Mr. Collins of trying to seduce her, Elizabeth knows there's more to Suzanne than meets the eye.
They're
really laying out everything
they
that
really
happens.
Because that happens like 3/4 of the way through the book. Well, I suppose they are known for giving ginormous spoilers.
That's true.
So this is not really
like a devil in disguise. Yes, absolutely a devil in disguise.
We're going to tell you why.
We're going to just lay it out here. No surprises.
Yeah, there isn't. There's not many twists in this, thanks to the blurb.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
So the cover is quite something.
It is.
Please describe it.
Yeah, so we've got Suzanne admiring herself in the mirror.
Yes, it is looking kind of like a waxwork.
Yeah, her hand also looks enormous.
It looks like somebody else's hand. She's touching her face.
Long ass fingers.
it looks like someone else is reaching in from the side.
It does. It's just holding the side of her head. And Liz is beside her, very sensible in like a pink little polo shirt.
Yeah. And the Levalier.
Oh, absolutely. But she's kind of giving her a bit of a stink eye kind of look. Like she knows something's up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Suzanne's gaze into the mirror is worthy of Jessica herself.
It actually
it is full of self-admiration.
Yes. How dare she look in the mirror?
You think Elizabeth would be used to massive bitches who stare at themselves in the mirror all the time.
Yeah, this is not new behaviour. Like.
Yeah, not in her life.
Nah.
So, well, as you might recall, back in the mists of time, in the end of Wrong Kind of Girl, the Wakefields negotiated who was going to New York.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And
yes, because yeah, what was it that Ned's college roommate suggested, yeah, like a daughter swap? Because that's a thing.
Yeah. So they're still negotiating this when we begin.
Yes. This yeah, book. Yeah. They're kind of in the midst of Jessica throwing a tantrum, basically, because she wants to go to New York.
Yes, and she's pretty much having hysterics.
Yeah. Straight away.
She literally says, I'll just die if I can't go. And then she pauses for dramatic effect.
Yeah.
Liz is actually quite funny about it. Liz is kind of rolling her eyes. And
yeah.
Like
she wants to go too.
Drama queen.
Yeah, but she's also just kind of, yeah, she knows Jessica's just making a scene.
Yes. And then we're told about the world of Tom Devlin. And this is a very inaccurate picture of what being a diplomat is like. Because we're talking like he has homes in Paris, London and New York. Like, do they think diplomats buy houses in this country? It's like, it's not how it works.
Not how that goes.
So, yeah, he needs a... He's quite the jet setter.
Sounds like it, yeah. There's a great bit as well where Ned laments the fact that he can only send one twin. So he's like, I wish I could afford to send both of you girls. But with college coming up in another year, I think the sensible thing to do is put the money aside. It's like, dude, that is going to be the longest year of your life.
You have time.
It takes so long for these bitches to get to college. Oh my God. There's like 100 and something books before we get near university.
You're going to have to pay for lawyer's fees when one of your daughters is accused of murder.
This is nothing. Like,
yeah, just pay.
Might as well have sent the two of them because fuck it.
Just pay a couple of hundred dollars for a place. Like, it's New York. It's on a round-the-world cruise.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just love
the poverty-stricken Wakefields.
So optimistic. That yeah. It's a year.
What's another year? Well, as it turns out, about 12 in real time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jessica is having fantasies about what her New York adventures will be like. And
yeah,
they're kind of amazing.
They really are.
She's in a impossibly chic Manhattan disco. Suddenly a hand touches her arm. She turns. Pardon me, Mick Jagger says. I believe this next dance is mine.
Oh, fantastic.
What is it with them? They've had this before.
Yeah.
Like, considering these books, as we now know, were written by 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like, in the 80s. Like,
he was still an old dude in the 80s.
He was not young. Like, what is going on? Oh, God.
Well, she reckons she might be discovered by one of the top modelling agencies and become the next Cheryl Teagues.
Cheryl Teagues. Blast from the past. Yeah, within a few weeks, her face would be on the cover of Cosmopolitan. That's not how magazines work, guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is real life.
Well, gritty realism. I don't know. Maybe we're expecting too much from them.
Maybe.
So, yeah, we get our twin description.
Yes, heavy handed as ever.
Yes, it's delightful. Uh-huh. They're called blue green eyes this week.
Oh, yeah.
So, as opposed to aquamarine. And we get more about, you know, the usual blah, 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 blah. Elizabeth is great. Jessica prides herself on being clever and devious. Imagine priding yourself on being devious. Like, it's not a good thing.
No.
Oh, good Lord.
And also, Alice could be their sister.
Oh!
She's so young.
I know. Yeah, they're kind of making we took a few books to get an Alice sister comparison.
Mm, yeah.
It's longer than I would have thought. But now they're making up for lost time.
Yeah. They will not let us forget that.
So they're going to decide who gets to go to New York.
Yeah.
And the only fair way to decide it is with a coin toss. Actually true.
That's pretty fair, yeah.
Yeah. But who wins? It's Liz!
It's Liz, yeah. Jessica is distraught.
Yes. She's literally wailing.
Elizabeth tries to console her, though, and offers that she can wear her new culottes while she's gone.
A go of the culottes.
Oh.
But Jess just keeps crying. That's almost like a taunter.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you'll get to go to Lila's. Lila's. God, Lila. I forgot how to say her.
I know, we've forgotten everything.
What has happened to us? Happened to me, anyway. Lila's having a picnic, and Jess is just like, I don't care. And then, because this is just her nature, and she can't help herself, she tries to persuade Liz to stay in Sweet Valley and not go to New York by telling her that Lila's gonna make a play for
Todd. She's after Todd. Like, it's so ridiculous. And Liz kind of goes, oh shit, maybe. It's like, dude,
oh,
come on.
Really. I mean, seriously. Ye of little faith. Like, do you think so little of
Todd?
She's
so easily talked out of it. Like,
also,
kind of
That is one of Jessica's sort of go-to things. It just lies and says that people are cheating on each other. Yeah. She said that before. Yeah, yeah. It's like a distraction, her soul distraction technique.
Oh, God.
But somehow, it works. It,
ridiculously, it works.
Liz
yeah.
is such
She's
a sap.
Such a fucking pushover.
Yeah, I mean, really. Like, grow a spine, Liz. You are a spoiled and pampered, privileged girl. Like,
and obviously, quite clearly, Jessica has an ulterior motive here. Like, I mean,
yeah.
come on.
Suddenly, she's
investigative
like,
reporter sense.
Oh, yeah.
Just you're nothing.
Well, I think we know she's not a very good journalist. No. So, so yeah, it's worked. And yeah, they're off to. Jess is off to the airport.
Yeah.
Bags packed.
She's out of here.
And she's, they're going to just basically do a swap. It's like a hostage situation.
So weird. Yeah, it's like they happen to be arriving and leaving at the same time at the airport. It's very strange.
Yeah, so Liz is like, oh, I didn't really want to go anyway, Jess, so you may think you manipulated me. She did.
She did.
She did.
She totally did.
Like, you're protesting too much.
Yeah.
And yeah, she bids Jessica farewell.
Yeah.
And then Suzanne turns up and she has a British accent. Faintly British, we're told.
So weird, yeah. There's also like a solid half a page about how hot she is as well. So,
oh, that's true. Do you want to share a little of this radiant beauty?
It's almost as bad as like a Wakefield twin description. It's so over the top.
I think it might be even more over the top.
I think it might be, yeah. So, okay.
I see why, listeners.
Walking toward them was the most beautiful girl she'd ever seen. Suzanne? No, she couldn't be. This girl had to be a professional model or an actress. Okay. She's tall and willowy with black hair that tumbled in glossy waves past her shoulders. Mm. Like, her features couldn't have been more perfect if they'd been sculpted by Michelangelo. Can you please calm down?
They haven't even said that about the Wakefields.
I know. Like, Elizabeth was most struck by her enormous dark-fringed violet blue eyes. Mm. She's basically teenage Elizabeth Taylor.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
So, but she's... Even Elizabeth... Radiant Elizabeth, surrounded by the beauties of Sweet Valley, is dazzled by her. She must be pretty incredible.
Serious stuff.
And she's, of course, it being Sweet Valley, the first thing she says when she meets the Wakefield is, Elizabeth, you're even prettier than I expected.
Oh, shut up.
What is wrong with these shallow arseholes? Like, you don't have to go banging on about people's looks every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth could only stammer some unintelligible reply.
She's so, lost for words.
She's so dazed. They Liz is awestruck by her sophistication. And somehow, Suzanne doesn't sound stuck up.
Ooh.
The way Jessica had when she was playing the lead in My Fair Lady and had gone around school talking in an English accent for weeks.
Oh, brilliant.
Why were we not given that gem?
Yeah, I want that. I want Jessica going method. Like, give me that book as a little B-plot. That'd be so much fun.
I'm trying to imagine what her accent is like.
In My Fair Lady, we should be doing a Cockney accent then.
Ooh, yeah. So what's Suzanne going for? I wonder, is she going for a sort of like... You know, brief encounter style, old school English fox accent. Like,
okay. Oh, Elizabeth, you're so much prettier than I ever imagined. So happy. So terribly, terribly happy to be here at Sweet Valley.
I think that's how she spoke.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm pretty sure. That's the only accent I can imagine. This
It's canon. That's what's happening there.
Yep. So, they go home and obviously she's very impressed by the pool and... She worries that she'll stand out because she's not tanned enough.
She's so pale.
And Elizabeth is like, don't worry, you'll have skin cancer soon too. She doesn't phrase it like that.
You'll be a leathery old bag like me soon.
It's like, it doesn't take long to get brown in this kind of weather. It's like, seriously, just factor 50.
Like a little bit of skincare.
Yeah. Oh my lord. Just protect your sun, your skin. You're in California.
Please.
Egypt. And meanwhile, we just got a little bit about Stephen's worried about his girlfriend.
Oh, yes.
Martin.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of foreshadowing for you all there.
Yes.
She seems...
Looks like they're having problems or something. Yeah, yeah. Mm. She sounds funny on the phone. And, oh, well, okay. This is all going on in the background though, so it's not really...
Yes.
That important yet. It's just kind of leading to some stuff.
Sowing the seeds, one might say. Yes. So, Suzanne and Liz go to the pool, the Wakefield's pool.
Yep.
And Suzanne is a great swimmer. And of course, just bear that in mind. That's very foreshadowing.
Oh, she's
too.
Also flawlessly proportioned with legs that seem to go on forever.
That does not seem flawlessly proportioned. That seems quite freakish.
That bitch is slender man out of proportion.
That seems quite giraffe-like. Maybe I'm just jealous because I have quite short legs. Aww. I'm quite short in general, but I do not have long.
But she's so hot in her striped bikini that suddenly Elizabeth felt self-conscious about her own lovely size 6 figure.
What is happening?
This bitch is going down.
No, she's bad if she's making a Wakefield feel self-conscious.
It's like the most human Elizabeth has ever been. Yeah. She's actually self-conscious for once in her life.
No, Wakefields don't usually do.
They don't do that.
Lack of healthy self-image. See, that is kind of terrible. Like, she's meant to be really charming, but she's like, oh, my boyfriend, oh, he's just too in love with me. And she doesn't mean like, in a stalkery way. She's just like, oh, life is so hard when you're as gorgeous as me and everybody, you know, worships you. But then then she says her parents kind of want to get rid of her.
Like she's got some kind of, she's acting all charming and lovely, but there's bubbling issues here.
Yes, briefly, her expression darkens. And She sort of pulls herself out of her funk and says how happy she is.
Yeah.
And they feast on pie made from lemons from the Wakefields' backyard.
Oh my God.
We haven't heard of that before.
No.
Harvesting lemons.
Oh yes, the famous Wakefield lemon orchard. What's a I don't know. Where do lemons grow? Lemonery.
Yeah, what is it? These? Lemon Grove.
Ah.
That's what it is.
That's a real thing.
So, yeah, they're both they both it's a love fest between Suzanne and Liz.
They've hit
basically.
It off. It's all good. Suzanne is super friendly, so
And next thing we know, it's yet another party.
Yeah, it's like a class picnic out by the lake.
Oh yes. There's,
so all the kids are there. And
not just the kids, we'll get on to that in a minute. And it begins with Winston giving a sort of insane serenade.
Yeah.
Winston's behaviour in this is not
upsetting.
It is. It really is. It is wrong.
Yeah.
He should, like, she should get some sort of restraining order out against him because his behavior is
it's not
healthy.
Not good.
And it's like, ever the clown, he rolls his eyes and says, can't you see I'm in love? And then all his friends sort of snicker at him. So, like, if this wasn't in keeping with the way they've behaved about him when he's been completely normal.
Yeah.
You think they're just thinking his behavior isn't healthy, but you can see it's just like, they just like take the piss out of him because they're pricks.
But yeah, basically all the guys are just mad after Suzanne. They all think she's amazing.
Yes. And Bruce is there inexplicably, even though it's meant to be a class
picnic. Yeah, because and they're all juniors.
Yeah. See, therefore.
Fucking Bruce.
Well, they call him super popular, super cool Bruce. What?
Yeah.
Don't have called him super cool. He's admiring Suzanne and he calls her a foxy lady. Oh dear, oh dear. And Enid's there too. We're told she's looking very attractive in a candy striped swimsuit.
Candy striped, but I love how it's like Elizabeth had noticed, though she wasn't stunning like Suzanne, Enid, with her shiny, shoulder-length brown hair and enormous green eyes, had a prettiness that was all her own.
Oh,
that's so
what a backhanded compliment.
Oh, God.
Yeah, please say that about me. It's like,
prettiness that was all her own.
Yeah. Like, no one else would be, you know, no one else would count it as pretty, but for you, it's like, you don't know, guys.
What do you really look for it?
It's spent a lot of time.
Like, oh, sound, thanks.
It is a lot of the you know, protesting too much about Enid. It's always, like, once you get to know her, she's really a lot of fun and she's really attractive. And Enid jokes about Suzanne, except she is only joking about this, that Suzanne is too good to be true.
I love
that. She's so nice to everybody.
It's like when they say the title of the movie in the movie. Yeah. It's like, yay!
Don't you think she's too good to be true?
Yes, Enid. Yes, she is.
Well, someone else is there who's too good. Well, it's too good to be true for us because it's so amazing. Mr. Collins!
Yay!
I just pounded the table.
Why are you here?
Chaperone and unofficial lifeguard.
Like, it's...
What the fuck?
It's a bunch of kids from school at the weekend. Like, you're off the clock, Roger. What the fuck are you doing here?
Go home, Roger.
Literally, go home.
And we're told is serving sizzling hamburgers along with his dry wish.
Ooh.
Mr. Collins serving dry wish since 1985.
What are you doing here? Get a
and
hobby.
Actually, I think this is the first time we get a comparison to Robert Redford.
Is it?
Yeah, it doesn't like, happen before.
We were just projecting Robert Redford
well,
stuff on him before,
because we know it happens a lot.
Yeah, we're just waiting for it to happen.
So yeah, he's there being hunky behind the barbecue.
Yeah,
and then something happens in the water.
Oh yeah, what was it? Suzanne's gone out for a swim, but oh no, she's in trouble.
Yeah, unless she's struggling.
Even though
we have been told earlier that she's a great swimmer.
She's flying around the Wakefield pool, no bother to her.
True.
But Mr. Collins has to run in and rescue her.
Yes, and she asks him to stay with her, and he's kind of uncomfortable, and it's just like, no, I think you should go home.
Yeah, like he kind of, you know, gets her out of the water, but then he's like, okay, bye.
Yep.
It's like, in fairness, he's being quite appropriate in hanging around.
Yeah,
in this
particular
scenario.
Being there is weird.
Yeah, but he's not adding to the weirdness at least.
Yeah, well, and at least he's dressed.
Mostly.
Because wait till later. He's wearing quite an ensemble.
Oh,
a feast for the eyes.
Good.
So, and we're also told that as Todd gazes down at Elizabeth after the accident, that his dark hair curls in damp ringlets and beads of moisture glistened on his broad and sunburnished chest. We're back to droplets territory.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, no.
I don't like where this is going. I don't think we should have this many pool descriptions.
Damp ringlets only ever lead to disaster.
Liz says something like, oh, Mr. Collins looked a bit uncomfortable after this. And Todd is like, oh, he just doesn't like attention. Like, he's not a would-be hero.
He
doesn't like being
for the limelight or
exactly
what have you.
And Liz is wondering what Jessica is up to. Transition scene.
Are we going to find out?
Jess is in New York City. And she feels like she's been hit with a sledgehammer.
No, what's going on?
Well, explain.
Well, some hot guy has turned up. And it sounds like he's Suzanne's boyfriend.
He is Suzanne's boyfriend.
The guy that she mentioned as being too in love with her.
Yes, and his name is Pete McCafferty.
Oh,
another Devlin and McCafferty.
Yeah.
Though they're all kind of evil.
Yeah, I feel like Devlin was literally chosen because it sounds a bit like devil.
I know.
It's like they were
almost
really going to subtlety there.
Yes. So he's a gorgeous hunk, and Jess is dazzled by her, and we find out that she's been having a whirl of a time.
Mm.
She's been seeing the sights, and she has. She's been hanging out with the Devlin parents, and Mr. Devlin is really nice, but Mrs. Devlin is a bit snobby.
She's kind of icy, yeah.
Yeah, and she's too snobby to take a taxi.
Oh. Yeah, she sounds a little bit racist, I think.
Yes!
Because she goes on about how she keeps the liquor cabinet locked because she thinks the maid's going to steal from it and cause taxi drivers unpleasant little men, and it's like, ooh, you're a bit off, aren't you?
No, she's not nice.
No.
Well, Suzanne didn't lick it up
didn't
off the stones.
The ground, yeah. We both just turned into mams.
Shambling, our mother is there. The Irish mammy comes out.
Can't be helped.
I know, it is in our genes. Like being terrible, according to this book. Look at all the Irish things. We've got the Kelly's Bar.
Yeah.
We've got Suzanne and Pete.
Yeah, we'd like the Doherty's.
Oh, yeah, but they own the Dairy Burger. But they wrecked it, according to... They made it all plastic.
That's true, yeah.
Anyway, Jessica has... she's gone... gone shopping on Fifth Avenue. And there's actually quite a sweet thing that she gets some free perfume samples for Liz.
Aww,
which is kind of sweet, because like, she doesn't have much money. So it's sort of fancy for her to be in a fancy department store. And... She's been to the Russian tea room where Mrs. Devlin smoked a lot of fags.
So
she's living a very glamorous life.
Sure is.
So now that she was just reminiscing about this, and now she's greeted by Hunky Pete, and she offers him a drink, and she's like, "Oh, I hope he doesn't want a martini," which is also quite cute.
Yeah,
because he seems all sophisticated. And he's come here to drop off tickets for the Devlins, Tom and Felicia. Use their first names.
Yeah. I don't know.
Very sophisticated.
Yes.
I wasn't choosing anyone's parents' first names when I was 16. No. I've seen the height of taking liberties.
Absolutely.
But Jess is kind of awkward, and she's like, oh, maybe you and me could go to this concert because the Devlins aren't home. So he's like, yeah. What
yeah, he's not kind of falling all over himself when he sees her, which is kind of, she's not really sure what to do with herself, because that's usually what happens.
It really is.
Yeah, so the fact that she's having to do a bit of chasing, I think she's just a bit like, oh God, what am I going to do? How do I get this guy?
I better just mention it. And then he's like, yeah, whatevs. I'll pick you up at 5:30, which is very early for going
to
dinner.
So early. Like, also, he says stuff like, don't you think Chopin should come from the heart? It's like, oh, this guy's a douchebag.
Yeah, really. So Jessica is preparing for her night in the town, and she uses all Suzanne's creams and makeup, and then steals her clothes.
Yes.
This is why I would not do a house swap with somebody.
No.
I'm scared you could end up with a Jessica going through your pants. There's a lot of rummaging through other people's clothes in this
quite
book,
a bit,
as you'll
actually
see later on.
Yeah.
So Pete turns up late, and then he doesn't compliment her.
Yeah, she's very upset about that. And like, the only thing he does say is that he kind of points out that it's Suzanne's dress that she's wearing, and she's fucking disgusted with that.
Which is a fair enough thing to point out. Yeah. It's like, it's his girlfriend's dress. Yeah. Chances are he will have seen it. So,
oh, they go for dinner at the top of the World
Trade
Center.
Yeah, Windows of the World. Which is quite poignant. Yeah. Pete buys her wine.
Uh-oh.
Mm. And he seems immune to her charms.
Yeah.
And then they go to the concert, but she finds it boring because we're told she prefers something with a snappy beat.
She wants to dance.
Which is kind of amazing. And but then she is being kind of a massive bitch, because she's literally thinking, I can't understand why he's so loyal to his girlfriend.
Yeah, like, he is literally somebody else's boyfriend. He is a dick, but like, he is someone's
at the
boyfriend.
Moment, he hasn't
as far
really
as
done
we
anything
know.
Wrong.
And yeah. She's just like, why won't he kiss me? It's like, because he's got a girlfriend.
She's determined to tempt him away, we're told. And then he takes her home, and she's like, oh, why don't you wait for the Devlins? But he's, no. Calls her Little Jessica.
Yeah.
So very nice. And meanwhile, back in Sweet Valley, something tragic has happened for Elizabeth.
Ooh.
She has lost something.
Yeah.
The Lavalier.
Lavalier. Living. I can't figure out how to pronounce it.
I know. Just something different every time we speak.
Yeah, it just gets me refer to it.
And Suzanne offers to help, which is apparently very much in character, because all weekend she has been...
She's been super helpful. Yeah, she's like getting up early, making breakfast for people. She helped Stephen varnish a canoe. What?
Because I'm reading it, I'm like, that sounds like a terrible euphemism.
Doesn't it?
What have you been doing? Oh, I've been helping him varnish the old canoe. everybody loves her.
Yeah.
And even Lila approves, which seems very unlikely. I would have thought Lila would just been like, get this bitch out of my
turf.
She's
competition, like, yeah.
But no, she's won Lila over, and boys keep calling, and Winston is basically stalking her at this
like,
stage. He's
what
disgraceful.
Fuck?
Carry on.
Yeah, they kind of do a bit of a running tally of how many guys have called and how many times they've called. Winston Egbert with 12 calls, not counting the night he serenaded Suzanne from out on the lawn. What the fuck?
Call
dude?
The police.
Like, that's not normal behavior.
No, this is not good.
That's stalking. Stop it.
And now they're planning a picnic on the beach to continue this round of celebrations. By the way, why aren't they in school? Like,
it must be.
It's been a very long weekend.
Something? Is it spring break or something?
Oh. I don't know what's
some
happening.
Random holiday.
Jessica's off in New York, and she's not going to school there.
That's
so
true.
Very mysterious.
It must be a week off or something.
Yeah. Well, they don't, as we know, they don't really do any work in school, so nobody
notices
if they're not, so it'll be fine. Liz is still upset, though, about having lost her lavalier, and Suzanne comforts her.
Yeah, she helps her look for it, or says she's going to help her look for it. Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah, and is so like, oh, don't worry, it'll turn up.
Yeah.
But she knows that it won't turn up.
Yeah,
because
switcheroo to little Suzanne point of view. It's in her fucking pocket.
Oh my God.
That sneaky bitch.
Oh, so fucking sneaky.
Yeah. It's like a pretty little trinket, she thought, with satisfaction.
Wait, <Sweet trinkets. laughs>
This is the first we hear of her kind of actually...
Oh, her inner voice.
Not being what she seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We see her true colours shining through.
Yeah.
And... Liz has to drop some Oracle stuff off at Mr. Collins's house.
Yes, for once he's actually not coming along with everyone.
Children's teenagers outing.
Yeah.
And I think this is where we find out about the existence, or at least the first time we see Teddy.
Oh.
Child of Mr. Collins.
That's right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think he's made an appearance yet.
No, he might have been mentioned, but yeah, he probably hasn't made an appearance yet.
Yeah. So Suzanne says, oh, don't worry, I'll go and deliver it for you. Just tell me where he lives. And she goes round to Mr. Collins's house and tries to sort of mess with his mind.
It's so weird. She kind of like creeps up beside him because she sees him like out the back of his house watering plants or something. And like she kind of sneaks up on him and just like... A mischievous laugh escapes her and he kind of whips around in surprise, nearly dropping the hose. Yes.
And she's inwardly gloating about how she's been exercising her power over all the sweet Valians. And she's like, Elizabeth Wakefield, she's such a sap. It's true, but like you're not being fair to her. And she vows Mr. Collins isn't impressed by her flirtation.
He's kind of keeping her at arm's length the whole time.
Yeah. And let's not forget what he's wearing.
Oh my God.
I don't think we can save this for the end.
No, it's going to happen.
Okay, brace yourselves, everybody, because you may not be ready for this, because I certainly wasn't when I read it.
So, picture the scene. He was wearing only a pair of white jogging shorts and a red bandana to keep his longish strawberry blonde hair out of his eyes. Suzanne's gaze strayed down to his bare, muscular chest, which was deeply tanned and slick with perspiration.
Oh, God.
I need a minute.
Oh, fan yourself. Dear.
This is now an episode of Thirst Aid Kit.
They did do a fictional heroes episode, but sadly,
Mr.
Collins.
Mr. Collins episode.
I know. Oh, God. Sweet Valley Thirst. Good Lord. Oh, well, she's. Suzanne vows to, quote, bring this teacher to his knees.
So weird.
And then. She literally pours water over herself,
sexily. It's so bizarre. She's like, mind if I steal a quick drink from the hose? It's like,
why are you drinking out of a hose?
Are you
disgusting.
A Labrador Retriever? What is happening here?
Oh, God. I need my inhaler.
It's I don't understand what the fuck she's doing. It's like silently he handed to her. Suzanne laughed merrily as the cool water bubbled over her lips and nose. She let it dribble down her chin until the front of her thin t-shirt was soaked, making it cling to her very brief bikini top.
She's literally doing sort of wet t-shirt competition.
She's in a white snake video is what's happening. Like, but it's such a weird thing to do.
Yeah, it's a drink. Who asks? Can I have a drink?
Ask for a glass of water, you freak.
Oh my God. Just the idea that you go around to somebody's garden and go, oh, I'm thirsty. Give us a bit of the owl hose, will you?
For fuck's sake.
Oh God, I actually feel weak. And then Teddy appears, which gives Mr. Collins, who was literally just standing there going,
what is happening?
What is going on? This is insane. He dismisses Suzanne and she vows vengeance.
Yeah.
And he's a bit freaked out.
And rightly so, because that was really odd.
It would be odd if even just asking for a drink out of the hose would be odd.
But like, no, as well as the
sexy writhings. This is the first time anyone's been immune to her charms.
Yeah.
And speaking of people who aren't immune to her charms, Winston has just gone full, like, get a restraining order and has written, I love you, Susie, in loo roll, like, all over the Wakefield's lawn.
That's vandalism.
What is wrong with him?
Stop that.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, we all know that they all need some counselling at the school, but really, Winston should be near the top of the list.
Oh, yeah. And then it mentions ever since Mandy Farmer moved away. She's gone.
She's gone.
Mandy, we hardly knew you.
No wonder we forgot all about her. She's like there for 3 books
or something.
She
was there and she was gone.
Farewell, Mandy. Godspeed.
Godspeed, Mandy Farmer. Never to be seen again.
Or mentioned after this book.
We've decided. Even if she is mentioned after this book, we're just not going to say it.
Yeah, no. We've been burned before with predictions.
She's out of here.
And everyone thinks it's cute that he's moved on. This does not count as moving on. This counts
weird.
As having a breakdown or something like this.
He is not well.
No. And everybody is cavorting.
Yeah.
At
the beach.
In the surf on the beach. And when they get home, Suzanne offers to help Liz find the Lavalier. And while this is going on, Jess calls home.
Oh.
And she's full of tales for a glamorous life.
Yes.
And she tells them about Suzanne's friend, Evelyn, who's going out with a 25-year-old.
Ooh,
Jesus.
No.
It's like 16.
Nope.
Ugh.
Where are your parents?
Oh my God. Well, where are their parents? We're going to find out. They are very absent and neglectful. And Jess is like, oh, I've met a gorgeous older man too. Mm. And Liz reminds her of old Mustachios.
Oh.
Scott.
What was his name again? Scott.
Yeah. It's like
Scott Daniels.
Yes.
The Scott Daniels fiasco. That was a fiasco.
Yeah, it really was. More ways than one. It was a fiasco for us. Read about it, just nothing happened in it apart from a
fuck's sake.
Yeah,
everything happened
tour guide.
In the first 10 pages and that was it.
Of course, though, all Jess's glamorous tales are not true. She's having a terrible time.
Yeah, she's actually not having the crack. And it's that weird thing again where someone's like, oh, we'll mind your daughter. And then they just fuck off and they're never to be seen again.
I know. They are terrible, the Devlins. Because we're sort of presented that Tom Devlin is a nice man. Like, he's got his snobby bitch wife.
Yeah,
but
if he's so nice, where the fuck is he?
Look,
why
after
they keep
this
abandoning her
child. Yeah. You're letting
Rome. She's a minor on her own in
New York in the 80s. Yeah. Like, look after her.
Oh God.
And Evelyn's party that she was talking about, the friend Evelyn who's going up with the
25-year-old
child molester.
Yeah.
It was terrible, and it was basically it was a dinner party, and they all acted like they were about 45. I actually imagine this is how Lena Dunham and her friends were like when they were teenagers. Because you know she had dinner parties that were written up in Vogue and stuff. I bet they were like these
and
wankers.
These guys sound like such assholes.
They're
terrible.
Awful.
Like Daddy says real estate makes more sense. I hate you.
And even sometimes, because her parents are extremely neglectful.
Yeah.
She sometimes stays over at her boyfriend's place in the village.
Uh-uh.
And Jess tries to drink to blot out her discomfort. Oh. And she gets
she's horsing the champagne into her.
I know. Well, fairness to the sweet, I mean, we know that they are scared of the bag of cans.
It's true.
So she's probably never tasted more than a sip.
Yeah.
And then she's falling over and knocking things over.
I actually really feel bad for her because it's these kids are dicks. They're talking about diamonds and Maseratis.
Yeah.
And basically just being unbearable. And Jessica just kind of gets hammered and trips over stuff. And it's like, oh, that's so unpleasant and awkward.
And she has to be sent. She passes out and has to be sent home in a cab.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, back in Sweet Valley, things are... seem okay, but we know that they're not because Todd has tickets to a Lakers game.
That's
now,
right,
is that basketball?
Yes.
What are they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're the LA team, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, but it is basketball, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm
going to say yes.
Confident yes.
No further questions.
we've learned so much in the show, but we have also declared things that turned out not to be true.
Yay, sports.
Especially American sports, in fairness. Suzanne offers to babysit Teddy so Liz can go too, because Liz was meant to be babysitting Teddy that
night.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And of course, she says she just likes helping others.
Mm. I do enjoy how Suzanne is like, oh, they're such idiots. I'm just going to make them breakfast and do all these errands for them and help Stephen with his canoe. And it's like, what? How is this making fools of them exactly?
Yeah, just because you're thinking
by being
mean things.
Really helpful.
Yeah.
She's
a kind of crap villain.
She kind of is a bit, yeah.
So she's stealing.
Well, she did steal, yeah. But then they're also like, you suckers, I've made you breakfast.
I've got up at six.
I've made pancakes for everyone.
I've done all your shopping. You suckers.
Oh, she's so evil.
Well, it's going to be definitely evil.
But yeah,
now.
Okay,
we're
going to
find out more.
Kick off. I just enjoy how she thinks she's being so villainous. Oh, she's doing housework for people.
She's done nothing villainous apart from the hose business, which is more peculiar.
Yeah.
She says, oh, don't, I'll ring Mr. Collins and say that I'm going instead.
Yeah.
But of course she doesn't, because she knows that if Mr. Collins heard her say, he'd be like
that's
fine, I'm not going out tonight.
Yeah, yeah, never mind.
Not letting you near my child.
Yeah, for once he's actually going somewhere, presumably with other adults and not hanging out with 16-year-olds.
Oh, well, we don't know.
Well,
maybe he's
going
to another barbecue.
I was just willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I don't think we're told where he's going, but it is with adults. They'd probably say he was like, he was going to help out a bunch of 15-year-olds' birthday parties.
Oh God, yeah.
She says something like, oh, give Teddy... I think Elizabeth says something like, give Teddy a kiss goodnight from me.
Yeah.
And she thinks, Teddy isn't the one I plan on kissing. Ugh. Wrong in so many ways.
Stop it.
So she turns up at the house and Mr. Collins is, even before like the first 2 minutes, he's freaked.
Oh yeah. He's just, he's not happy with this at all. But he's also like... Like his frown deepens and then deepens again. Like he's just, he's very frowny about this whole situation.
And she's kind of rubbing herself up against him, trying to, and he's just like backing away from her. Like, no. But anyway.
But she kind of wins Teddy over, doesn't she? She's all charming and.
While Mr. Collins is there.
While he's there. Yeah.
And then as soon as he leaves, she's a bitch to poor little Teddy. Oh, she's just like, whatevs. Go to bed.
She just kind of leaves him there.
And she feels no guilt about this because her parents were horrible to her.
Aww.
Which is kind of in keeping with how they treat Jessica.
Yeah, actually.
True.
Where are they?
Why was Ned friends with this terrible person? And then she starts rummaging through Mr. Collins' stuff because that's how she gets blackmail fodder.
Yeah.
We're told that she found her cousin's bag of pot.
Oh my God, yeah, her cousin Ruthie's jewellery box.
Yeah, and then she was able to blackmail poor old Ruthie.
Oh, poor Ruthie. Ugh.
So, but Mr. Collins is squeaky clean. She's annoyed because she can't even find a Playboy. I think we're all glad that she didn't because these books have taken an even more disturbing turn.
Well, like, that's true. But also, I don't believe that for a second. He has something stashed somewhere.
Yeah, it's in a box under the bed.
She didn't look
sock
hard enough.
Or something.
Yeah. Squeaky floorboards or something.
But we're told that she goes through his wardrobe and something with cords and sports jackets. And then she has a bath.
Oh, God.
Like, imagine having a bath when you're babysitting. Like, even if you weren't engaging in a sort of weird scheme. Yeah. I just feel like, what if the water's not hot in time? You can't relax. Like,
no.
You have a bath before you go to bed.
Yeah.
You don't have a bath before you're going to, like...
No.
Well, she's fantasizing, though, about Mr. Collins finding her in the tub.
Oh, God.
But anyway, he doesn't. She can't stay in there forever.
Yeah.
So she sets the scene for his return.
Mm.
She pretends to be asleep.
She does. She puts a station on the radio that played soft romantic music and kind of unbuttons her blouse a bit and just like pretends to be asleep on the couch for when he comes in.
And then he tries to wake her up just by saying like,
"Get up. Get out of my house."
But she doesn't move. Yeah. So he gently sort of shakes her.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, Mr. Collins.
It's you."
And basically like shows him her boobs.
Yeah, she's like, "Oh, you scared me. Feel how my heart's beating." And like puts his hand on her chest and is like, "Oh." Mr. Collins at least flushed as he pulled away. He's like, "Fuck this."
And then she asks for a drink. And as my notes say, Mr. C is all WTF.
Yeah. And he is.
Yeah. And then she goes for it. She tries to kiss him and he's like, "Stop it."
Yeah. Oh, he's just shutting this down.
Yeah.
He's, nope.
No. And you can see it's like, he is just like, "What?"
Yeah.
Like, you know,
no, he's not having it.
Get off. And he's very cold and he basically boots her out of the house.
Yeah. She is furious. Oh my God.
Oh. And she rips her blouse as she returns home. So you know what's going
to
happen.
She stomps back to the Wakefield house and, rips up her own blouse. And guess we can see where this is going.
And meanwhile, back in New York City, Jess is in a carriage in Central Park with Pete.
Mm.
It's the Devlin's idea, but why has Pete gone along with it?
Like, why?
Like, the Devlin's can take her for a ride around in a carriage in Central Park if that's what they want. So she tries, sort of comes on to him. And he's not having it. And she's really been miserable.
Yeah.
So
she's so infuriated.
Yeah.
Someone's boyfriend won't score on her. It's like, oh, stop it.
I know. she's had nothing to do all week except go to a party of dorks, including, and this is obviously seen as a terrible thing for Jessica to have to lower herself to socialise with a girl who'd been to fat camp. I quote. Like, unless you think that going to New York, the like prejudice against anybody who isn't a gorgeous size 6 or 4 would be baited. No.
Ooh.
Same old shit.
Yep.
Wherever you go. Oh, but then things get nasty.
Yeah.
Back at the flat. So Pete plies her with a drink.
Yeah, he pours her like, oh yeah, he knows where Felicia keeps the key to the liquor cabinet. So he kind of pours out some brandy, I think, for her. And then he switches off the lights and starts kissing her. So she's like, oh my God, yeah, he's kissing me. This is great. But
then he won't stop.
Pretty quickly goes wrong.
It goes, yeah, he's like holding her down and stuff, and it's quite horrible. Yeah. And then he's like, she's literally going, help, stop.
Oh, it's horrible.
And
yeah,
he's saying things like, grow up. What kind of a game did you think this was? And then he makes his hideously creepy analogy. He goes, little matches start big fire. Didn't your mother ever warn you about playing with matches? So Jessica is both scared and angry.
Yeah.
And she manages to get away from him and says she's going to call the police. And they're like, what? What will you say?
Yeah, he's going to say, oh, what, did I attack you after you invited me up to an empty apartment?
Yeah.
And gets all kind of victim blaming and terrible.
Yeah, it is awful. And the thing is, the kind of the message to readers in this is a bit like, don't lead them on, because,
yeah,
you know,
this is what happened. And it's like the second or third time this has happened to Jessica. It's like,
yeah, it's the only time where they handled it sensibly was when Bruce did it to
Elizabeth.
Yeah, where it was seen as just like, he was entirely wrong. And yeah, she was like, yeah, what, this is how you get your kicks, like forcing yourself on people.
Yeah.
So he tries to go for her again, and she gets out of his way and smashes an ornament to the floor. And just as this is happening, the Devlins come home.
Hey, finally, they're here.
Yeah.
Thanks for showing up, for fuck's sake.
I know. And you think that they might be, you know, like immediately saying, what are you doing to this poor 16-year-old?
Yeah, they're frozen in the doorway. It's like, okay, well, at least they're here.
Yeah, that's true. They bothered to come home. Look at their underage guest. So meanwhile, back in Sweet Valley, Susanna has come home and she lies to Liz about Mr. Collins. By the way, these books also give the idea that false rape accusations are way more common than they actually are. Because they've been like...
Yeah, there's been like two in like 11 books.
Yeah, something. Which is a lot, because it's, you know, within the same household for one.
Yeah.
And actually, Liz's reaction is kind of realistic. Like, she's really upset, but she doesn't say, she sort of believes, you know, she takes Suzanne at her word. She doesn't go, that's ridiculous. There's no way this could be true. But she is very upset. Like, it feels quite real.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it's 2 days later, and we find out that Ned has gone to old Chrome Dome Cooper. And we also find out that some parents at school are happy Mr. Collins is in trouble because they always thought he was too liberal.
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah. And we're told that Mr. Collins won't publicly deny... This is very stupid, Mr. Collins.
Yeah.
Like, why... I don't know. This does not seem like a great approach for somebody who is innocent, which we know he is. He won't publicly deny it because he says people will believe what they want to believe.
Okay, but you can still defend yourself.
Yeah, like, it's good thing you're not a lawyer. So Todd wonders, like, oh, Mr. Collins really have done such a thing? But he knows that she can't be evil enough to lie.
Yeah.
Though, of course,
because as far as they know, Suzanne is amazing and friendly
and a saint.
And the best.
They have only known her for 2 weeks. But anyway, he knows that it is a terrible thing to do. Mm. Even though who did it to him a few books ago?
Yep.
Jessica.
That's right. We've all forgotten about that, apparently.
Yes. So everybody is gathering in Cara's house to plan some present for Lila. I'm not really... Oh, yeah, because it's her party.
Lila's birthday is coming up, I think, yeah.
And people have divided opinions on whether Mr. Collins could have done it or not.
Yeah.
And unpleasantly, John Pfeiffer
says,
boo hiss, we can't judge him. It's like, well, we know what you're saying, John. So everybody's upset for poor Suzanne, as they think.
Yeah.
And Winston suggests, so I know he has been a creep, but this is quite a nice idea, that they use Liz's present money to get Suzanne a goodbye gift.
Yeah.
And Liz is like, oh, I was going to buy a replacement lavalier, but I'm going to spend it on a gift.
Oh.
So it's party night. And Suzanne is wearing like a Halston dress, like she's in Studio 54.
Yeah.
It's very glamorous.
Very much so.
Whereas Lila, well, I think we'll leave it till the end. You can share this outfit. Because let's just say she's gone for the Ms. Dalton School of Party Clothes. Not a predictable outfit. So they gush all over each other, and then Lila, or is it Liz? It's Liz who has gone for the Miss Dalton outfit.
Yeah, it is, you're
right. And Liz puts her gift in Suzanne's bag, her gift. And
yeah, before they head out to the party, because she wants to just kind of sneak it in as a little surprise.
But what does she find in the bag?
It's a goddamn lavalier.
It could not have got there by accident.
No.
So Liz tells Todd what she's discovered, and they compare Suzanne to gorgeous but evil Kathy in East of Eden.
Oh, okay.
Another literary reference from the past. Todd is like, well, Jessica's done some terrible things. And Liz is like, she's never done anything really bad.
Oh,
she's literally done just this thing.
To your boyfriend.
Who you're talking to. Like, it was only 10 books ago.
Oh my God.
How have you forgotten?
Yeah, she's never done anything really bad. It's like, this is exactly the same thing.
Yeah. And in fairness, Todd is just like, okay, I'm not going to go there.
He's like, no comment.
Yeah.
Like, that literally is as nice as he could possibly be about it.
Yes. So they go to visit Mr. Collins. Don't know if this is a good idea under the circumstances, but anyway.
Yeah.
He's a broken man.
Aw. Shadow of his usual self.
His usual huggy self.
Yeah. He's got stubble. Oh no.
Oh! You know that. You know.
Stubble means despair.
Nobody, all men in Sweet Valley are clean shaven unless something
terrible has happened.
Really terrible. Yeah. Like something awful. Mr. Collins, why are you doing this? He doesn't deny that he did it. He's just like, what do you think, Liz? Dude, she's 16. You shouldn't be asking her this.
Yeah.
She says she thinks he's innocent. Mm. And Mr. Collins is like, well, yes, I am. But actually, very nobly, he feels sorry for Suzanne.
Yeah.
Sort of like, nobody would do this if they weren't kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
And he tells Liz, don't lose your faith in people. And then she kisses him on the cheek. What, really, Liz,
in the circumstances?
Like,
don't do that.
So Lila's party is in full swing.
Yes.
And Winston is perving away on Suzanne. She's grooving on the dance floor with Aaron Dallas.
Yeah.
And when Liz and Todd arrive, Suzanne notices that Liz is wearing the lavalier, so she knows she's been wumbled.
Yeah.
But she doesn't, she's not that bothered.
Yeah, not really. She's just, you know, she's had her fun. So
yeah.
I guess that's it. She's heading off the next day, I think, is she?
Oh yeah, she is actually.
So, like, so whatever.
Nothing to lose now. Yeah. I've wreaked havoc.
Yeah.
And Liz is kind of icy with her, and Suzanne admits the truth. And she says, like, oh yeah, but he wanted it, and he would have done if he wasn't such a boring old saint.
Ugh.
Which, you know, it doesn't really make sense.
Stop it.
Like, so Liz is vows to tell the truth, and Suzanne is basically, well, according to my notes, which cannot be accurate because there's no way she said these words. According to my notes, Suzanne is all, go ahead, I'll fuck you up too.
In so many words.
Yes, summarizing. So then Suzanne tells Cara that Liz is going mad.
Yeah, but actually, it's so sneaky. It's actually quite impressive that she kind of manages to discredit Liz super quickly, because she knows that Liz had that weird episode after coming out of the coma where she wasn't acting like herself.
Well, she was acting like Jessica.
Yes. So she kind of says to Cara, oh, Liz isn't, you know, acting like herself, and I think maybe something's going wrong with her.
She's having another episode.
So everyone thinks Liz has gone fucking bananas again and basically won't believe anything she says. Oh, yeah.
So Cara, of course, spreads the word.
Yeah.
So, you know, she chose the right person.
She did.
Yeah.
Like, it's quite crafty.
Oh, it is very crafty.
Yeah.
And Liz confronts Suzanne, and then Suzanne sort of gaslights her. Is like, I know you're fucking mental. So, you know. I know you don't know what you're doing. You were.
Yeah, because she had confronted her first, I think, in private when Suzanne actually admitted to stuff, but now it's in front of everyone. And Suzanne's like, what are you talking about, Liz?
Yes. I know you've been going through some hard times recently. It's very sinister, genuinely sinister.
Yeah.
And then Liz loses her temper, completely understandably, but Suzanne stays icy cool.
Mm.
But then Liz sees Suzanne sneer at the mention of Mr. Collins and sees this as being sort of a crack in her armor, which, you know, I don't know, maybe it's like she's losing her cool demeanor.
Yeah.
So Liz channels Jessica
huh?
to fight fire with fire when she starts sneering at Suzanne.
Yeah.
And then Winston...
Is this when Winston kind of rocks up?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he accidentally on purpose spills like a cup of punch all over Suzanne.
And she shows her true colours and she screams horrible things.
Yes, yeah, she's like, you fucking idiot, basically. Again, in so many words.
We're doing a lot of powerful phrasing. Yeah,
yeah. Winston's like, oh no, I'm so sorry. And she just... Yeah, goes to town and on it and is just freaks out at him completely.
And apparently, like, we know she did lie.
Yeah.
But it is ridiculous that this is enough to prove...
To tip her over the edge.
And it's also enough to prove to everybody going, oh, well, she's yelled at Winston. Well, she must have lied about Mr. Collins.
Clearly. Her. Like, this discredits her entirely.
But it turns out that Winston had heard her and Liz and staged...
The whole thing.
Incident. Yes.
Make her reveal her true face.
Oh.
But yeah, everyone just kind of walks away from her and she's just left standing there crying. It's all very dramatic.
It really is. And then we're not really told how she gets home.
No, yeah. It's just like, she's just standing there crying.
And then, next thing we know, Jessica's back in Sweet Valley.
Yep, okay.
So, what happened that night?
That was such an awkward trip to the airport, wouldn't it? They said to drop her back, like.
And they have to take her home, and she's like sharing a room next... Oh, no, but she's sharing a bathroom. She's not sharing a bedroom, but she's like...
It's quite awkward.
Sharing a breakfast table. They're going to be eating Alice's pancakes over breakfast. It's like, very, very awkward. But anyway, we don't see her again for now. Not for this book, anyway. So Jess returns home, and she lies and pretends that Pete was great.
It's quite sad. She can't just tell her sister she did shit time. It's like,
no, Jessica, it's like your sister.
Yeah,
is that Lila?
You don't have to pretend to everyone that everything's amazing. Yeah,
and actually, you really should tell your parents about this.
Yeah.
Because your parents should not let her go and stay with the Devlins again.
Never again.
Though it does turn out that the Devlins were mature, nice adults about it and did, you know, and kicked Pete out of the house.
Yeah, they didn't never want to see him again or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. And hopefully felt a bit guilty, but probably not. We're leading into the next book with the final moments because... It's back to Tricia and Stephen's problems.
Oh, yeah. It's just kind of Jessica being annoyed at Stephen, isn't it? Because Tricia's from a white trash family.
And she thinks Tricia wants to dump Stephen because she's been cancelling dates. And then she goes on about family reputation. Like, did she learn nothing from the last book about judging people by reputation?
Literally not a thing.
No, nothing. Well, she really doesn't learn anything, as we should know.
There is no growth here at all.
Absolutely none. And Stephen's worried about Tricia because something is wrong, but he doesn't know what. And we read the last tagline. It's, Stephen was close to tears. I've tried, but she says nothing is wrong. Liz, I know she's hiding something. I can see it in her eyes. And it's driving me crazy.
Oh.
And can you read the final tagline?
So yeah, our final lead-in then to the next book. What terrible secret is Tricia keeping from Stephen? Find out in Sweet Valley number 12, When Love Dies.
Oh, it really is. Well, that was a very dramatic book itself.
Ooh, that was a lot.
So
wasn't
it should end on a dramatic note.
Suitably dramatic.
I know. So do you have any stats for us?
Yes, I do. You're not going to like them. Yeah, the blue-green eyes only got 3 mentions.
What?
I know. And the blonde hair just got 1.
1?
1, imagine. And like, I was thinking back to like the first book, there was 8 mentions of each and you weren't impressed with that. But now, wouldn't you love 8 mentions
of each? I would. More than 1.
You'd be only delighted.
We're channeling Irish middle age.
Yep.
Comes to us all.
Yeah, just no point inviting us.
Yeah, really, let's just give in. Maybe they were spending so much time talking about how beautiful Suzanne was.
Actually, yeah, she probably pulled focus a little bit.
She had her tumbling black,
tumbling glossy
curls.
Hair and her violet Liz Taylor eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even though the stats may be disappointing.
Yes.
I know the outfits well.
You know the outfits are
I
good.
Remember the outfits.
Yeah.
So please share.
So, okay, at Lila's party, we've got Suzanne's dress, which you mentioned was a bit Studio 54.
Mm.
So it's an off-the-shoulder white satiny dress. But Elizabeth reckons she wouldn't be able to pull it off, that she'd look like a high school junior masquerading as Princess Diana.
Aww.
And Suzanne, it was naturally chic. Love an old Diana reference.
I know.
We've had one before, I think, hadn't we?
Yeah, well, I think. Oh, we did.
I think so, yeah.
And we all know that sometimes when the twins' hair is kind of bouffant to the back of it. It does look like shy dye in the mid-80s.
Not unlike, But the showstopper for this one is Elizabeth's ridiculous outfit for the party. She was wearing her favourite velvet skirt and a high-necked lace Victorian blouse. Suzanne had helped her fix her hair in a fancy French braid into which she tucked a sprig of fragrant honeysuckle.
What?
Are you on Little House in the Prairie? What is happening?
She's gone to like a...
Why?
Nellie Olsen's birthday party.
Be absolutely roasting.
Right? I know. The velvet skirt. Well, wasn't Mrs. Why? Dalton herself? Well, Ms. Dalton herself. She too went for the Edwardian barmaid look.
She did. She had like a rose in her hair or something.
Yeah,
didn't she?
And her velvet floor length skirt.
Ugh, yeah.
Oh, they are so strange. And they any other ensembles?
That was kind of it for the outfits, because then we just had Mr. Collins in his little Axl Rose getup.
Oh,
which
well,
was quite something.
That'll be burnt into our brains for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and then we had Jessica and her obsession with the number 137 popped up twice.
Oh,
yeah.
Twice?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
She said, the Devlins, it would take me 137 years to describe them.
Well, it wouldn't take me that long. Horrible.
Basically, rich. Terrible.
Rich and terrible. Yeah. That's basically it.
And when she's upset that she might not be going to New York, she says, I'll probably never set foot out of this dumb town for the next 137 years.
In fairness, they don't leave it that often.
No, they really don't.
Like, they barely leave the town limits, as far as I can tell. So,
that was
too good to be true.
Yeah.
And it was one of the more dramatic ones.
It was.
So, we do appreciate them.
Yeah, like there was no B plot because it was just all A game the whole way through.
It really was.
It?
Yeah, it was not. There was not playing around. No, we weren't giving any sort of nonsense going on in the background. But who knows what B plots went on in the in Sweet Valley en français?
Oh my god!
Because we have had some communications.
Yes. Huge thank you to Breege on Twitter, who's at Rare Opal Blog, because the revelation of French Sweet Valley, like...
We did not know.
It's called
existed.
Sun Valley,
yes.
For starters.
In French.
Yeah.
It is called... is it called Le Val du Soleil?
No, it actually just says Sun Valley, but then all the titles...
In English.
Yeah, but all the titles are like...
They're totally different. Completely. Which is kind of amazing. Like, they are, like, there's. I think this one was called C'était trop beau.
Yeah.
It was too good. Like, it's not really the same thing, but anyway. And it's the first one is called something like. Apologies for the terrible French pronunciation, but it's something like Sur Rival.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Yeah, instead of double love, it's like we're straight in with the aggro with rival sister.
Yeah. not wrong,
but the covers are just.
Oh,
so
good lord.
Amazingly 80s noir kind of.
They are incroyable.
Oh, truly. You've got that whole kind of effect where it's like, you know, the shadow of the blinds on the window type of situation.
Yes.
It's really like that. It's great. I'll put a few of them up on Twitter actually.
They're wearing,
oh my God.
And their hair is even more 80s. It's a bit sort of Kim Wilde.
Oh, yeah.
And in the front of Sur Vival. Yeah. One of them, you can't even tell which is which because they both look kind of like glamorous, is wearing a popped polo shirt collar, which we used to call when I was young doing a Des from Neighbours because he favoured
the popped
collar look, the classic Australian soap.
Amazing.
Please check it out.
Oh yeah,
it is,
it's worth your while.
Yes, trying to figure out what book is which as well.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mystery.
When you do a Google image search, they give you the covers, but they give you the wrong titles in English because you can figure out like that is not, you know, love letters or whatever.
It's tremendous.
It really, really is. So
it also says haute tension.
Well, that's true.
Each one. It's like, yes, you're right.
Ooh la la.
So yes, thank you very much, Breege, because this is amazing.
It is amazing. And if you know of any other international Sweet Valley insanity,
love it.
Please let us know.
Love an old Sweet Valley parallel universe.
Oh, we really, really do. With their French, I think the Argentinian ones were the most intriguing because the twins weren't blonde.
Yeah. That was a game changer.
It really was.
Brunette Latina twins.
Yeah,
it
changes a lot of their kind of, how they see themselves.
Indeed.
I am intrigued. I wish I could speak Spanish so I could read them. And we also got some great emails. So shout out to people who mailed us, including Orla Costello, Debbie Brown, and Monica Sepulveda. I hope I pronounced your surname right, Monica. And a few people asked, would we someday do Sweet Valley Twins? Now, I never read Sweet Valley Twins.
Yeah.
Even though I was like 12 or something when they were coming out first. But I don't know. They just never seemed to have the camp drama level.
Yeah, well, I suppose Sweet Valley
and love.
Came first, didn't it?
So like, oh, yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's Sweet Valley. The real bananas material that you want to get stuck into.
Yeah.
But I did read the Twins books when I was younger, all right? Because like when I was... I suppose in the midst of reading Sweet Valley High and then I get like a book token for my birthday and go into a bookshop, it's the Twins books that were the new ones. They were coming out then.
Oh, of course. You know?
So that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
So there was some good Twins books though.
Okay, maybe you'll convert me to the Twins.
There's one like a haunted inn and Ooh. Yeah. They had some good plot lines. There's one called Big for Christmas where the twins wake up and they're older for Christmas.
What?
Yeah, no, it gets weird.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Because Sweet Valley didn't go full supernatural until they were like book 180 or something.
I'm so excited for when it goes all Twilight.
Oh Lord. There is literally
there's werewolves, there's vampires.
There's a vampire and it is a vampire.
Yeah.
Like the werewolf, you know, sorry for spoiling it. It is about 100 books away, so maybe you'll have forgotten this by the time we get to it. He's not really a vampire.
No.
He's not really a werewolf. The vampire, however, turns into a magpie.
Oh my
and
God.
Flies off.
Oh, I forgot that.
It is demented.
Yeah. Oh. Some really good stuff comes up past book 100 when you get into.
Yeah, they'll just lose it.
Evil Twin and Margot's. Yeah, that's going to be so good.
But don't worry, there's still, listeners, there's still lots of gems.
There's so much good stuff to come.
Next week, we've got Tragedy.
We do.
Or next fortnight, I should say.
We've got some properly, yes, overwrought. Teen drama.
Yeah, so
it'll be good.
Thank you all for listening to us after and for patiently wait. Well, maybe you weren't patient. I don't know.
Maybe you were just impatient and we just didn't notice.
Yeah, maybe you were shaking your fist in rage going, when will those two Irish...
These lazy bitches. Get your act together.
Well, we're back.
We're here. Yay.
So please do get in touch with us. We do love hearing from you.
Yeah.
And it really... cheers us up when you give us feedback on the show.
We love it.
So you can contact us on Twitter at SVHpodcast.
Yeah, you can send us an email at svhpodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow other podcasts in the Headstuff Podcast Network, which we are proud members of.
Yeah, there's so many good podcasts.
So many good ones. And you can follow us at HS Pod Network
mm-hmm.
on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you can check out what's happening in Headstuff at This Headstuff.
Yeah. There's loads of good stuff on there.
So much good stuff. And we will be back in your ears in 2 weeks.
Ooh, yeah.
When we find out what happens.
When love dies. Do 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 do.
Do 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 do. See you then, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
This is how it's always been. I'm on the outside looking in.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Experience the difference at Woodhouse Buick GMC. From the GMC Acadia to the Buick Encore, we're sure to have a vehicle that fits your lifestyle. Our climate-controlled showroom guarantees a comfortable shopping experience every time you visit. Plus, our commitment to our customers continues well beyond the date of purchase. You will leave our lot feeling comfortable and confident in your new vehicle. Start your car buying journey today, in-store or online at woodhousebuickgmc.com. We are professional grade.